Hello, everyone, and welcome to TechStart Live. I'm Larry Williams, President and CEO of TAG, the Technology Association of Georgia. I'm pleased to bring you all a new weekly podcast featuring our technology community's best and brightest leaders, Georgia's hottest innovations, and key developments from our state. We remain the number one place to do business, and Georgia's technology companies are leading the way. This podcast is about how our TAG members are leading us through this crisis by managing, solving, and curing the major problems that face us today. I'm joined today by Dan McFall, who is the president and CEO of Mobile Labs. Mobile Labs is the leading supplier of in-house mobile device clouds that connect remote, shared smartphones and tablets to global 2000 mobile web, gaming, and app engineering teams. Prior to his current role, Dan served as Vice President of Sales for Mobility Solutions at Mobile Labs. Dan received a Bachelor of Science in Industrial and Systems Engineering from Georgia Institute of Technology. I've heard of that school. Here it's pretty good. So Dan, delighted to have you here today. Appreciate you being here. Y'all really do have a lot of great value, and I appreciate all the support we've had and interactions we've had with you at TAG over the years. Really looking forward to hearing about what you're doing, and then we'll go into a conversation about how applicable it is today and age.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me, Larry. Thanks for the introduction. Yeah, a couple people might have heard of where I went to school. So Mobile Labs, as you mentioned in the intro, we are a leading provider, or the leading provider, of on-premise mobile device clouds. We do also provide hosted device cloud capability. Device cloud is basically a way of talking about remote controlling a mobile device from your desktop web browser, like you would interact with a virtual machine. But our big claim to fame for the last 8 years we've been doing this in Atlanta is we were the ones to make it possible to set it up all within your firewall, within your existing infrastructure, and on-premise. And then we slowly carried that over the last 3 years into also providing hosted and managed services on behalf of major enterprises.
Listen, so we're in a mobile-first society now. You know, everything that we do is about personalization. How do we bring content? How do we bring experience, calendars, functionality right to someone's palm almost? Talk about how the world has shifted and where you think it's going as well.
Yeah, I mean, well, it'll be interesting. We were already moving to mobile first, or what I even kind of take it a step further and talk about digital first, which is basically just that you're going to interact with your customers via technology before you're probably going to see them face to face. And obviously, with the times we're in at this very moment, being shelter in place in Atlanta and around the nation, that's just going to keep going. I think, in fact, we're going to see who's really ready within the enterprise right now to be able to support their customers. So we're, you know, ways we see that and ways to continue to see that going. We do a lot in banking. So you'll continue to see mobile banking. You know, it's an interesting thing. My wife is an architect, and she actually, she owns her own business. She runs for herself. She just got a payment. And unfortunately, the business credit union she works with couldn't accept a mobile deposit of the size of the check that she was dealing with. So you have a mobile challenge, and then being in Atlanta, a fintech challenge, even around that are things that I think they're going to have to figure out quickly. My bank actually raised the amount that they can handle over mobile deposits. It needs to be bigger. I'm pretty fortunate that everything I do is direct deposit and a lot of digital banking.
Don't have the problem too often, right?
It doesn't come up that often, but it's a thing they're gonna have to think about. And one of the things we see with our customers as well is going to be about, you know, we're working in hospitality space, we're working in transportation space. I mean, airlines have slowed down a good bit right now, but they'll pick back up.
No kidding.
And one of the things is, how is mobile going to reduce physical interaction with people as we continue through this period of time? And what's that going to work like in the real world? So we're going to continue to see user experience, real world testing, things that work within the four walls of my business drive. And I think we're going to see that accelerate now, and we're going to see that need for testing in real environments to continue to have to go faster.
You know, it is amazing in how it's going to affect our world, or even accelerate, as you said, moving mobile to digital first. I was talking to a friend of mine, and her daughter is now in the workforce. And her daughter was lamenting to her and saying, you know, I'm in this global organization, and there are people I work with that I realize I may never meet in person. And her mother said, yeah, well, you know, welcome, because, you know, she lives that. She's with a multinational company and says, that's what I live every day. And I think that's exactly where we are.
Now, it's funny. I mean, we may actually have more interaction in certain weird ways, but not in person. Kind of a funny, just early days Mobile Lab story. We were working with a major telecom, is one of our longest standing and largest customers. And they've always been distributed. And funny enough, so distributed that two people who had both worked for this company for 10 plus years each, they were on separate project teams, but they were both using our solution. They met each other in person for the first time because we all came together for a face-to-face meeting, and they worked in the same building and had never actually met each other in person. I mean, the building holds thousands of people, of course, but it's still just a funny, I mean, we're going to see that happen. You know, and we're onboarding new employees right now. And I realize it's like, you know, I usually get to meet them, shake their hand their first day, say thank you so much. You know, we're still a small company, a little over 30 people in the U.S. And, you know, I haven't had a chance to do that. They just have email interactions. They don't know who I am right now. So we're actually going to have a town hall next week just to go through how Q1 went and all that stuff. And what I've suggested is it's a webcams on meeting for all of us just to quick see, right? And maybe have a kid walk by or a dog bark in the background or any of those types of things. Maybe my kid climbs in my lap in the middle of my presentation, like that poor guy on the news a couple of years ago. But those types of things are going to be the way it goes.
Yeah. And that's life, right? That is what our life looks like. I've told my folks some of the fun I've had in doing more of these video interactions is I've gotten to meet a lot of people's dogs. And that's kind of cool.
Yeah, you can't hear mine, but he's barking his head off in the background because I have this mic going because I knew that was going to happen the second we started talking, but he's going
crazy.
Well,
if he comes in, I'd love to meet him.
Well, say hi, Jesse the Yellow Lab. So.
All right. So he's probably not shy. Hey, you know, what you're doing about mobile is really interesting to me because I'm going to call it the intersection of the alphabet soup. It's the intersection of EX, the employee experience, which is just as important as the user experience. It intersects with the point of sale. You're enabling the Internet of Things. You get into what's going on with machine learning, with artificial intelligence. And so, like I said, it's this intersection of all of the technologies that's coming on. And I think is if focus in on the user experience and then the employee experience, this attitude that if it's not a good experience for the employee, it can't translate into a good experience for the user, and how mobile and how y'all are thinking about this. And I think the testing really feeds into really making an optimal experience.
No. Exactly. And I think, you know, interestingly enough, when we started doing Mobile Labs 8 years ago, and that telecom customer is one of our first in the original 10. And that application, believe it or not, I really thought where they would be jumping in was like the customer experience application, right? Managing my account, doing all those things. But the good and bad is those are high visibility. So when you're working with a startup like we were at the time, they were a little nervous about that. What they put us into was actually the application you use in their retail stores. So the one that an employee would come meet you with on a tablet, talk through, check inventory, all of those types of things. And that was exactly their point at that time. It's like, it has to be performative. It has to return the correct information. It has to be easy to use. And in a way, that interaction is also then reflected in the customer experience, because if the employee is not, you know, is having a good experience, then they don't get frustrated. They're providing quick information and valuable information to the customer at the exact right time. So we've always seen, despite the fact that now, I mean, we test gaming at, you know, we work with people who are major gaming manufacturers and those types of things. And that's clearly customer or user experience. But in all of our major enterprise customers, we're across a portfolio of applications, things that enable employees, things that enable customers. And how much they try to drive a seamless interaction across that, even a seamless brand across those things, it's really important. You want that to be the same. right? For your user as well as your customer, you want that brand experience to be exactly the same. Your employee as well as your customer, you want that brand experience to be the same.
So a big trend in this whole area is how do you start to create personalized experiences at scale? How are you seeing that emerge? Is that part of that experience that people are trying to achieve?
We are. You know, I think one of the things that we're seeing a lot right now, sadly, one of our most intriguing customers was a cruise line. So they've been doing a lot with us. They've been a customer for a long time. Of course now on hold, but they were just bringing us into a really interesting project they were working on, which was all about very personalized user experience shipboard that was all being driven by a combination of Internet of Things and a mobile application. So they were basically, the concept would be you could sign up for this experience. You would actually, they would give you a bracelet, almost like in the same way you'd get a bracelet, one of those fast pass bracelets you would have at Disney, but it's on the ship side. And everything about that, it's the credit card. But what it was also going to be was, say you went to the mobile app and say, I wanted a drink. You could go anywhere because they knew where you were. Like the whole point of the wearable was the fact that you could swipe it and scan it and not have to have your device. But also, they know where you are in the ship. And of course, what's the back end of that? They're tracking what you did, where you went, where you spend your time. And on these longer cruises, they were going to start using it to do, you know, promotions and things of that nature. Know when's a great time to put a drink promotion in front of you. When do you spend time in your room versus when do you spend time outside? And they'll come back and bounce back with those things, because as we bounce out of this, that type of experience, you know, is going to be when everybody starts throwing specials at you for flights and cruises and everything else. How do you differentiate yourself, right? Because, you know, every cruise line is going to have to bounce back, and the original bounce back is going to be, I got to fill these ships up as fast as humanly possible. So those types of things are going to matter, and it's got to be at scale. And then here's the other thing. It's got to work. You can't put it out there and then have it not work. You know, Larry can't suddenly get Dan's drinks and vice versa in that situation.
I bet you order good drinks. So it is interesting, because I was thinking about that interaction and the experience even at the bank. If I walk into the bank and I talk to a live person, and this has happened, and then the banker just picks up the phone and calls the customer service desk, I'm like, well, I could have done that, you know, as opposed to something that's really adding value and they've got an inside track and it can really facilitate the interaction and the transaction and what I'm trying to do. And we're seeing this. I was at a fintech conference in Hong Kong a few months ago. Well, it's probably been a year now. But it's, you know, their whole mantra was, people don't need banks. People need services. And it's that whole service delivery that becomes a digital approach. Do you see more of those trends going on throughout the industry as well?
No, absolutely. It's one of the things that's interesting. I mean, you know, people doing well because they have the backup of brick and mortar banking, and it's still out there, and there's still a number of people who are unbanked in the sense of digital banking. But at the same time, you know, it goes, and it's two sides, right? It's for those of us out there, of course, we're doing well, we're working, and the idea of the bank and going to it and using it for my transactions as a place to store money is important. But I remember years ago, there's also, for the unbanked, there is a lack of services for people, right? Brick and mortar banking still come with transaction fees and things of that nature, that if you were lower income or intermittent income, once again, as we enter into this new time of uncertainty that people are dealing with, I think there is the opportunity around the concept of moving money as a service and giving people a place to have interactions as a service, much more so than kind of the traditional notion of banking, right? And I agree with that. And I think the ones who might be missing that opportunity are the larger banks. They actually have the chance to do these types of things. I understand the back end might make it more difficult, but I think there's a massive opportunity to grab unrealized market share by thinking of it as a service model. And thinking of it in user experience, affordability, meeting people where they are. So mobile is going to be a huge, what you have to do to make that work, you got to be digital. It has to be streamlined. It can't have, like you said, you know, you do the thing for me, I could have done myself. And people are getting smarter and these next generations of, you know, we joke about millennials, but now the Zoomers are entering the workforce, and the things and the expectations they have are going to be very, very different. They're not going to want to necessarily talk to a physical person unless they need only the capabilities a person can provide, beyond a bot or an AI or any of those types of things. So it's going to be an interesting time. I think it's growing. I think people are a little late to this, and they're going to have to catch up very quickly now, depending upon however long this COVID thing takes. I think you're going to have to be forced to catch up.
Well, that's the digital first mentality again, that people are going to try every other option before they try a human being. So that's the last point of entry. So let's talk about your business. Let's talk about what you do and, well, we've been talking about your business, but a little bit more specific, but talk to us about mobile app testing and why it's so important, and also the difference between on-premise and off-premise mobile app testing.
Absolutely. The big piece for mobile app testing still, I mean, testing's important in general. It's always been important since we first started deploying things on mainframes. We've always had to test our computers and look for functionality and all of that. One of the things you mentioned earlier is scale. Mobile's increased the scale of the challenge of the problem because of the diversity of computer platforms. And what I mean by that is, you know, most enterprises for the longest time would keep you on a version of Windows on your desktop as long as humanly possible, and versions of browsers and all of those things. And mobile's exploded in BYOD environments and all of those types of things to say, I have all these different computers, they're running different versions of OS, there's different performance, all of these types of things. It's driven this need for testing. And then one of the things you've mentioned is I have interesting interoperable technology. So I've got a wearable that's coming off, you know, going to a desktop, you know, or banking's always been one of my classics I like to use, is I've got all these different mobile devices. I have a desktop application, a web application, and it's running actually, frankly, on an ancient backend from Oracle. It's actually still running all your old banking stuff on the end of it. And it works. But the thing
I think there's somebody still out there with some punch cards somewhere.
I promise. One of the funniest things I ever heard in Atlanta was somebody going, he was, you know, they talk about offshoring and rural shoring, and he's like, we're going to go to gray shoring because we're the only people who still, remember all of these old technology stacks.
I'm stuck with those Fortran classes.
Exactly. Where all the AS400 folks are still ready to go. But you have all of that type of stuff going on. You have to test it. And you talk about the on-premise, off-premise thing. So there's a couple things around that as well. Part of the reason we came in for on-premise was not just security, but because getting access to those back-end systems actually meant being on-premise. That stuff's not exposed to the World Wide Web. Oh. Putting all of your devices you need for testing into a data center may not have access to the systems you need to be able to logically be able to go in and build a continuous testing framework, because that's the whole thing, right? Once again, human interaction, you want to minimize that as well within the enterprise as much as possible. Automate all of the things you can automate to let people do the things they're good at. Edge case testing, manual testing, user experience testing are all places where you want human beings in there doing their work. So the back end access to that infrastructure. And then there's still a lot of mobile device in hand. You know, what happens if I shake it? What's it like to use it with my fingers, even if I can do a lot of things remotely via the screen? On-premise drives those types of things. Off-premise, one of our value for people and the value for others who do it is around procuring devices is hard. Managing the hardware is tough. Devices are, to use a very technical term, fiddly. So you have to come in and touch them by hand every now and again. And we provide that as a service. Others, of course, out there who provide public device clouds or off-premise device clouds do that as well. That's the big piece. So, you know, what we see a lot of is people who like the hybrid approach. There's certain types of testing where they need it on-premise. They need access to back-end systems. Then they have other aspects of testing, maybe at scale, that they want off-premise. They use us in our hosted environment for those types of things. And it's just like traditional software testing. It's just got its own challenges because it's mobile.
Excellent. So you've brought up a couple of industries. Both are regulated. So we talk about our financial services, a regulated environment. We've got consumer regulation over privacy. And then we can bring in healthcare with that as well. So three highly regulated industries. Talk about both privacy and security as we move to mobile devices and the interactions with our systems and our networks and the vulnerability there.
Yeah. So the big thing we see, the privacy security piece, I mean, and there's always this interesting trade-off, right? I mean, some of the stuff we were talking about that user experience for me as a consumer requires me to give up a little bit of my privacy or allow people to track me as a consumer and data. And sometimes it's super convenient and sometimes it's a little scary. I mean, we have Alexas in our house and all that type of stuff. And my wife and I have definitely had conversations, and it's just conversations, and I've got targeted advertising about what we were just talking about. And that's a little scary, but it's also just the nature of the world. You know, the fact of the matter is enterprises test with production data. They need to be able to use real production data to see how things are going to act in their production environments. Sometimes they're even going to want to test things in the production environment to get to real world environments. Those cruise lines I talked about do a lot with us on ship. So our on-premise capability to come in and actually set up a device environment that lives on board a ship, for them to actually be able to test user experience, all of those types of things can only happen on ship, only happen on premise. And then they've actually learned there's a little bit of robotic process automation they can do around moving around manifests and some things around that they wouldn't have been able to do in off-premise environments because shoreside doesn't always talk to the ship. So once again, there's not just security, but practical reasons to be able to do those types of things. But when it comes to actually testing the mobile applications as well, when you're regulated, one of the things we've learned with a couple of our customers is around testing, you know, their enterprise mobility management. You know, I still say AirWatch. I'm sorry, I'm an old Atlanta guy. VMware. But, you know, we were dealing with a customer of theirs who basically was like, you know, they learned to have a whole corporate security level of testing because they got their provisioning profiles backwards. And it was supposed to be document and content management, and all the low-level people were getting access to the privileged information, and all the high-level people were not getting access to the privileged information. And they had that backwards, and that got deployed wrong. So now there's a whole testing cycle around those types of things. Uh-huh. And once again, you can only do that within your four walls, because the whole point is all of those systems make you geographically aware and bounded and all of those types of things. So once again, there's a need for physical on-premise testing and in an automated fashion to support that. And then there's also for them, they do remote work and some of their field offices coming back into the main offices to test what performance is like. So out of Hong Kong into the US and test those types of things as well. So, you know, best of both worlds with this hybrid approach is what we're seeing a lot of enterprises get out of it. But they want to secure their data. I mean, and they're getting more and more. What's interesting is we're getting more and more audits as a vendor to them about our security policies within our four walls, right? Because they're like, we're going to send you your support team data about us. Where's it staying? Is it secure? What are your policies? And that's just the way of the world, especially like banking, insurance, healthcare. I mean, all three of those, we're getting new level of scrutiny. I joke about signing away my firstborn, but a couple of them are like, you warrant some things, or, you know, at least you have to do a risk assessment with us around the security of our data.
Well, and especially doing more business in a global environment, they have to manage their whole supply chain and all of their vendors. So that gets into everything from export compliance regulations all the way up to, the regulatory environment in each country that you're dealing with. So that's quite the challenge.
Yeah. The GDPR thing added complications. I added the federal government into my customer base last year. Boy, that had some fun ones because I had to warrant that I don't do business in Iran or North Korea. I hated to cede those markets, but you know, we had to do it. No, obviously, but yeah, I mean, it's interesting what what everybody's concerns are. And that gives us a lot of, you know, we have a lot of flexibility with our deployment model that lets us open the doors into a lot of industries that have been really good for us.
So, I mean, just, you know, more in summary than anything, but the mobile app testing, making sure that you're have run the gamut, tightened up your protocols, tested the technology behind it, is really critical to making sure that it's going to that your mobile app and that your mobile experience is really not only targeting and hitting the point and the people and the target audience, but it's functioning the way that it has to. I mean, the alternative, right, is just to, I mean, it's just, you're just throwing something out there and seeing, it's the spaghetti on the wall, right? And hoping it doesn't all fall apart.
Yeah. And there's so many places it can fall apart. You know why? That's the real challenge. And depending on industries, I mean, we have had some customers who are basically, they don't have very, you know, their application is not something I'm interact with on a daily basis or a weekly basis. And they go, we're just going to throw it against the wall and see. I don't think that strategy is going to work out.
Dan, I think we have a little glitch. Don't know if you're still, I don't know if you can hear me.
We all froze for a second. Yep, we all froze for a second.
All right. Well, this is great. Hey, anything you want to add as we wrap up here?
No, I've really enjoyed this. The only thing I'll say being, you know, I will throw out a shout out to TAG. We've been members since the beginning. We've been fortunate to be selected as a top 40 vendor twice, in the last several years. And we have a long history with TAG who's been good to us, and we're an Atlanta born and bred company, and have our offices here. So we love Atlanta. We love being in Georgia, and you know, I hope some people have enjoyed our conversation today.
Well, I hope so as well. I can't thank you enough for, you know, being an active member and an engaged member of TAG. We're always delighted to see our great companies grow up and scale and be successful. So Dan, thanks so much for joining us here today. Thanks to all you do. And thanks for everyone who's listening out there. We'll be back soon with another edition of TechStart. On behalf of TAG, we look forward to continuing to serve the technology community. Dan, continue to do great things. You can go let the dog out for a little while, and we'll talk to you soon.